Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Australian Open Tennis, once again, tops Tuesday show. Now, Tuesday was a fine day weather-wise in Melbourne, but organizers had headaches because of unplayed matches that were washed out by rain the day before. Craig Gabriel reports from Melbourne on Tuesday's action.
They played catch-up tennis incredibly well at the Australian Open, and almost the entire backlog of matches from the previous day's rain have been put back on track, and the weather is expected to be favourable for the next few days at least. That's fingers crossed. After all, it is Melbourne, and the city has been known to have four seasons in a single day. I want to start with Maria Sharapova, and there is a question floating around as to whether she'll be seen here next year. Sharapova was beaten by the 19th seed Donna Vekic 6-3, 6-4, and Sharapova was up 4-1 in the second. The former title holders had no end of shoulder issues, and you wonder if there's one more injury, whether she calls it a day.
I don't know. I was fortunate to get myself to be here, and thankfully to Craig and the team allowing me to be part of this event. It's tough for me to tell what's going to happen in 12 months' time.
No issue for Rafa Nadal, who dropped only five games. Off the four majors, it's here at the Australian Open where he's had least success. Just one title, but he says trying to outdo anyone else is not something he ponders.
I don't care about 20 or 15 or 16. I just care about try to keep going, keep enjoying my tennis career. And it's not like 20 is the number that I need to reach. If I reach 20, fantastic. If I reach 21, better. If I reach 19, super happy about all the things that I did in my tennis career. No, I am very satisfied about my tennis career because I give it all most of the time.
Daniil Medvedev won in four sets over Francis Tiafoe.
Hi, I'm Francis Tiafoe. You're listening to Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Belinda Bencic, Alexander Zverev, and Dominic Thiem advanced, and Simona Halep had a fall in the first set, but recovered from a breakdown to beat American Jennifer Brady. As for the locals, it was a huge day for the Aussies. Nick Kyrgios, the most prominent one, advanced in straight sets.
Just with everything going on, got walking out there, I was definitely a lot more nervous than I have been in previous matches, and Australian Open, I usually feel pretty comfortable, but I was definitely really nervous walking out there. The crowd was unbelievable. I got comfortable quite early in the match. I played an unbelievable first set, which helped. I thought the pressure kind of eased off after I won that first set, but he didn't go away. But yeah, I just feel like I'm just playing for a lot more than myself. I've said it before, so it's not necessarily added pressure, but you know, I feel like I'm playing for a lot of people.
And during the on-court interview, John McEnroe pledged $1,000 for every set Nick won, with the money going to the bushfire appeal. Eight other Aussies scored wins. Craig Gabriel, VOA Sports, Melbourne.
Thanks, Craig. And we'll keep our fingers crossed that those bushfires won't spark up more smoke that could affect the tennis in Melbourne. The Australian Open is scheduled to continue through February 2nd. The defending men's and women's champions, Novak Djokovic of Serbia and Naomi Osaka of Japan, both won their opening matches on Monday. Djokovic defeated German opponent Jan-Lennard Struyff in four sets, and Osaka won in straight sets 6-2 and 6-4 against Marie Buzkova of the Czech Republic. Osaka thanked the crowd after her match, saying, and I quote, "You probably didn't come for me, but thanks for filling up the stadium." There was one person in particular there in Melbourne who was there only for Naomi Osaka. Naomi wrote the following tweet after her victory. "My dad watched my match from my box for the first time during a Grand Slam. I feel so happy." And I'm sure Japanese fans will be happy to see Naomi Osaka compete at this year's Tokyo Olympics. The year's biggest international sporting event officially opens on July 24th and goes through August 9th. Well, 81-year-old Donald Dell has played a lot of tennis and watched a lot of tennis. During his long career in the sport, Donald Dell has captained the United States Davis Cup team, managed some of the game's greatest players, and he was the co-founder of the City Open Tennis Tournament right here in Washington. In 2009, Donald Dell was elected to the International Tennis Hall of Fame. I asked Dell about a tennis event that took place 47 years ago, the Battle of the Sexes match between Billie Jean King and Bobby Riggs in Houston, Texas. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Dell says he was one of the fans who watched the match in Houston.
Well, just by happenstance, I happened to be at the match and saw it live in Houston in 1973. And it was an exciting time because going into that match, because Bobby had beaten Margaret Court so easily, everyone, I think, felt that Riggs would prevail. And as the match went on, it was very clear that Billie Jean was a lot stronger and a lot better, and Riggs was getting tired. But I think much more importantly, that in the bigger picture, you know, you often hear the phrase battle of the sexes, depending on what it is, whether it's an argument with your wife or whether it's something that you're betting with somebody. I mean, there's always that phrase, and I think the phrase is, you know, forever, battle of sexes. I mean, it's something that a lot of people relate to and laugh about, and I think this match really set an interesting tone, and I don't say the match did it, but shortly, I believe a couple of years thereafter, they came in with Title IX in collegiate the Congress passed Title IX, which basically said that women in collegiate sports had the right to the same number of scholarships and the same funding that men did, and that was a tremendous important change for women's sports across the country. I think the Battle of the Sexes was sort of a preview of that and kind of got people thinking about that, you know, women could certainly compete and compete at another level. And, of course, you've seen what's happened now. That's sort of been traveling on into a business and corporate world. I don't mean there's a Battle of the Sexes, but corporately, I happened to be watching something. I think it was CNN. And they were saying they were talking about the game changers and the women who are so impactful in corporations. They named 26 different new CEOs, all of whom were women in major companies like Pepsi, like GM. And it was a very interesting, you know, 10-minute discussion. Well, I think that's kind of a fallout, if you will, from a fun, playful but competitive thing called Battle of the Sexes with Billie Jean and Bobby Riggs. I think they set a tone that's really still going.
You mentioned how you were at the match. Very much a spectacle. King comes onto the court kind of like Cleopatra, carried by four muscle men. Does tennis need more of that today?
Well, I think certainly that was a spectacular promotion, and I thought it was very clever. I always thought Billie Jean had a good chance, depending on the court service, because he's a wonderful volleyer. By happenstance, nothing to do with the Battle of the Sexes, I played mixed doubles with Billie Jean at Wimbledon the first 3 years she came over. And so I knew her quite well and liked her a great deal, and we were very good friends. And she was a very, very natural volleyer and a very good one, particularly in doubles. She won 10 Grand Slam titles in women's doubles, for example. And if you watch that match, I happened to watch the thing on Billie Jean's life on HBO, an hour show, and it showed her playing lots of different matches. And she was a great volleyer, particularly on her forehand volley. And she came into net against Bobby Riggs many, many times in that match. She did not stay back on the baseline and rally with him. And I think partly that was because the court was reasonably quick. It was not real fast, and it was not soft like grass. So the ball was bouncing at a pretty good height, and she attacked it very well and came in behind it a lot, if you watch that match or tape thereof. And that was one of her great strengths, was her quickness at net and her volleying ability.
Some people forget that Bobby Riggs beat Margaret Court before he played Billie Jean King. What about Bobby Riggs? How would you describe his legacy?
Well, Bobby, you know, Bobby in his own right, first of all, he was 55 years old in this match, but Bobby in his own right was a great professional player. I mean, if you talk to Jack Kramer about Bobby Riggs, he won the U.S. Open. He won a lot of national men's titles before he turned pro. And then on the pro tour, which was mostly the Kramer tour, he was a very big factor when he was 28 and 30, 32 years old. This was 25 years later that he was still playing, but he wasn't going to, dominate her the way he did when he was a player at 30 years of age. I mean, the 55-year-old player is quite different than the 25-year-old, and he showed that. But in his own right, he was a very, very good player.
This was not the first and only battle of the sexes. There have been others. Maybe not as publicized. I was thinking John McEnroe making those comments about Serena Williams. Do you think we're going to see more of these type of matches, male against female, in the future?
Well, I think lots of people are talking right now about a match, a similar type match. But it really comes down to the right people. And certainly Serena would be an awfully good one to play. I think what people have forgotten is that Serena's great strength is her big serve. I mean, she serves, 130, 135 miles an hour for their first serve. So she's going to have a real weapon. And if there is a match coming up, it's going to really depend on who they pick the player. And, you're not going to pick some guy on the ATP men's tour who's 30 years old. But if you pick someone like John McEnroe, who's in his late 50s, and he was a very good player, but he's slower now, and his left-handed serve, which was very good before, is slower. And so I'm not as optimistic as John is. I think Serena will hold her own against any kind of veteran player. I'm just picking a number, let's say over 50. You don't want her playing someone 30 because the man player is going to be so more powerful as far as serving and volleying, but I think Serena can hold her own because of her service ability.
In terms of prize money, at least at the Grand Slam tournaments, the male and female players now receive equal prize money. Do you credit Billie Jean King, Bobby Riggs with kind of sort of setting the foundation stone for that?
Not necessarily. I credit Billie Jean for it. Billie Jean, no question, lobbied very hard and got the U.S. Open to first do that. And the other slams, followed suit, but over a period of time. I mean, Wimbledon only decided to do it about 3 years ago, whereas the U.S. Open did it very, 20 years ago. I mean, and that was no question that was Billie Jean who was leading the charge to get equal prize money at the U.S. Open. And once that occurred, as I say, the U.S. Open, the USTA, was by far and away the earliest one to do that by some 10 or 15 years. And then it was followed really by the Australian came on. The French were still slow. And then they followed finally about 7 or 8 or 10 years ago. I don't know the exact date. And Wimbledon was the last to follow suit. But she was instrumental as the leader of that cause, I think, much more than just the individual match of Battle of the Sexes. I think Billie Jean's personality and respect and perseverance had a major, major role because, as you see, subsequently to that, they named the tennis stadium the Billie Jean King Tennis Center out at the USTA and the U.S. Open. So it tells you that the USTA had great respect for her.
Donald Dell, thank you for talking with us on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Well, it's been a pleasure. I've enjoyed it.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest better part of the bottom of your heart,
Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
And my Voice of America colleague, Shaka Sali, will be waiting for you Wednesday at 18:30 UTC GMT with another edition of Straight Talk Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. My last name is Young, but I think on this edition of the Sunny Side of Sports, we're hearing from some of the old-timers in sports. Earlier, we heard from 81-year-old Donald Dell. Now we'll hear from a record-breaking 104-year-old athlete named Ida Keeling. Yes, you heard me right, Voice of America listeners. Ida is 104 years old. My VOA colleague Gwen Uten tells us more about inspirational athlete Ida Keeling.
Hey, sports fans. I want to tell you about a woman who will shatter every excuse you come up with for not exercising. Her name is Ida Keeling. She is a record-setting American track and field athlete. Ida spoke from her home in Harlem in New York City about her life as an avid runner.
I'm very interested in exercise as one of my best medications.
Ida released a memoir titled Can't Nothing Bring Me Down, Chasing Myself in the Race Against Time. In her book, Ida writes about her determination to never give up and what became a turning point in her life when, at the age of 67, two of her four children were violently killed within a year and a half of each other.
After they passed away, I just couldn't get over both of them. So I just couldn't. I felt like I was going down. I'm already short. I'm getting shorter. I'm getting meaner. And I don't want to talk to nobody. Something went wrong, and I blamed myself.
To help her cope with depression, Ida's daughter encouraged her to run in a 5K race. Ida recalled how that run helped her through the grieving process.
I went with this run, but while I was running, I was feeling my strength, and I was feeling like I was coming up out of a hole, and I just kept on going.
And my goodness, Ida is still going. At the age of 95, she set a world record for her age group in the 60-meter run. At the 2016 Penn Relays in Pennsylvania, Keeling set another world record in the 100-meter dash with a time of 1 minute 17.33 seconds. And if that wasn't enough, after the race, she dropped down and did a set of push-ups in front of the cheering crowd. Keeling has since raced all around the globe, breaking world records, many of which still hold. You remember her age, right? So how on earth does she do it? Well, Ida says her trick is to start first thing in the morning.
Up in the air with the feet and out the bed. And then I sit on the side of the bed and throw some punches and I do some squats and all like that because my knees get stiff. And if you're stiff here, you're stiff here, so you got to straighten out both of them. And then I do a couple of little uppercuts here and there and all that kind of stuff. I have to get ready. I get up on my toes and down. Otherwise, I'd be a mess.
And Ida says a big breakfast also helps with an occasional shot of cognac.
Sometimes you wake up, you're kind of numb. I know I'm short on iron. And because that's why I got that Hennessy. In 72, they gave me that for poor circulation. And this doctor didn't say how much or how long, so I'm still at it.
Well, that certainly seems to be working. Ida is well on her way to becoming one of the fastest centenarian runners of all time. And if you're still having some trouble getting off that couch, Ida says it doesn't take much to be active. Just get out of your head and do something.
Get up and get around. Don't sit around doing nothing. Get up and do something. Sometimes you got things that, well, I don't like to do this. Get up and do it and get rid of it and look. See how different you feel. It's a big thing.
Well, Ida, you have certainly inspired me.
Thanks, Gwen. Ida has certainly inspired me, too. You go, girls! That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Keeping up with our old-timers in sports theme, let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to golf great Jack Nicklaus, who is celebrating his 80th birthday on this Tuesday. The AP's Shelley Adler reports.
The Golden Bear is 80 years old. On the eve of his 80th birthday, Jack Nicklaus spent time with reporters on a conference call, and the subject of a possible retirement at age 35 came up. The Golden Bear explained that he always wanted to take up skiing, but was concerned about injuries. Thinking about retiring at age 35, he went on a family ski trip.
While we were out there skiing, I was talking about not playing much golf the next year. And the kids all said, Dad, what are you doing? You could still beat everybody out there.
So if he had quit playing at 35, Nicklaus, who has 18 majors, would have stopped with 14, and Tiger Woods would have passed him with his Masters victory last April. I'm Shelley Adler.
Thanks, Shelley, and happy 80th birthday to golf great Jack Nicklaus.
They're playing
in one of the marquee National Basketball Association matchups on Monday, the Boston Celtics routed the visiting Los Angeles Lakers. The AP's Geffen Coolbaugh reports from Boston, Massachusetts.
Kemba Walker finally had his day against LeBron James as the Celtics blew out the rival Lakers 139-107. Walker had 20 points and earned his first win in 29 career games against James.
I'm happy I got one at least, you know, before he goes. I mean, even though who knows how long he can play, because he's just incredible.
Jason Tatum scored 27 and Jaylen Brown 20 to help snap the Celtics' three-game skid. L.A. scored the game's first 8 points, but it was nearly all Boston after that as the Celtics broke it open in the second half and led by as many as 34. LeBron James had 15 points and 13 assists for the West-leading Lakers. Anthony Davis scored 9 after missing 5 games with a tailbone injury. Geffen Coolbaugh, Boston.
Thanks, Geffen. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Giannis Antetokounmpo of the Milwaukee Bucks, the NBA's reigning most valuable player. Giannis had a triple-double on Monday and scored his 10,000th career point to help lead the Bucks to a 111-98 victory over the Chicago Bulls. Giannis had 28 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists. This was his fourth triple-double of the season. Giannis Antetokounmpo showing that, yes, he deserves to be named the NBA's most valuable player. Giannis reached 10,000 career points on a jump hook with about 4.5 minutes remaining in the game. Elsewhere around the NBA Monday, the Philadelphia 76ers beat the Brooklyn Nets 117-111. Australian star Ben Simmons tied a career high with 34 points, and Ben also added 12 rebounds and 12 assists for Philadelphia. The 76ers still playing without Cameroonian star Joel Embiid, who tore a ligament in one of his fingers. I know the 76ers hoping to get Joel Embiid back soon. And that wraps up the January 21st edition, the old timers edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nashwan Kali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, historically black colleges and universities in the United States are expanding in Africa. HBCUs on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists in Chicago discovered the oldest solid material ever found on Earth, trapped inside a meteorite that fell in Australia 50 years ago. What they found are grains of stardust, microscopic remnants of stars that died billions of years ago that can go on to help form new stars, planets, or other objects like meteorites. The ancient bits of stardust are actually tiny grains of pre-solar silicon carbide that were created long before our sun formed 4.6 billion years ago. To determine the age of the stardust, the scientists measured its exposure to high-energy cosmic rays that fly through the galaxy. Using that dating technique, the researchers found the grains of stardust are between 4.6 to 7 billion years old. The scientists' findings were published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.